In Iraq today, a suicide bomber killed at least 5 Army recruits waiting in line at a military base to apply for jobs. Yesterday, a series of attacks north of Baghdad killed 8 Iraqi soldiers, underscoring that Iraqi security forces have been a favorite target for Sunni insurgents hoping to undermine the Shiite-led government in Baghdad. In fact, 2013 saw the country's highest death toll since the worst of the sectarian bloodletting began to subside in 2007. So what is the feeling in Iraq now, as it heads into its first parliamentary elections since the U.S. troop withdrawal in late 2011? How deep are the divisions as Shiite, Sunni, and Kurdish candidates vie for 328 assembly seats? NPR's Alice Fordham joins us now. She's been in Iraq recently and is back in Beirut. We've asked her to open her reporter's notebook. So, Alice, you were in Iraq in 2010, and then now. What's the difference?
Well, I would say that certainly there are some things that have changed. In some ways, when you enter Baghdad these days, it almost confounds expectations a little bit. I arrived on a Thursday, which is the day that the weekend starts in Iraq, and I drove through one of the nicer parts of town, and it was packed. It was full of families. There was an amusement park with bright coloured lights, definitely more shops and malls and cafes for people to hang out in than I remembered. And at times like that, you can really feel like there's progress. But actually, sadly, in an insidious way, maybe sometimes in a way that you almost have to look for a little bit harder, the violence and the divisions are still there, and they become apparent not just in the attacks, but when you talk to people about who they're going to vote for, the things that have been happening in their neighborhood, that kind of thing.
Well, stay with the first thought, families out in parks. It's something that's hard to imagine because what we constantly hear are about suicide bombings at hotels, at military bases, the assassination of journalists right on the street. You would think people would be huddled in fear.
Well, my personal feeling is that it's actually kind of maybe twofold. So yes, it is true that there has been a spike in violence, and that people are terrified of what the future is going to bring. And there's just this feeling of despair at having achieved a level to some extent of normalcy in Iraq, and to see the situation become more violent as it has done over the last year, as you mentioned. But the kind of violence is actually quite important. So what we used to have in Iraq many years ago, really, is death squads, various militias setting up fake checkpoints in the street, shooting people outside their houses, these kind of assassinations, targeted attacks. They were things that were horrible, but that you could avoid. Weirdly, there's nothing you can do to avoid a car bomb, which is the main form of violence in Iraq these days. They happen randomly. They happen in public places. So I think that in a way, people just have the attitude that either you literally never leave the house or you just take your chances. It would be like never leaving your house and getting on the bus. And also it's fatigue, you know. If it's been like this for 10 years, then what are you going to do? People sort of want to get on with things.
We also talk about seeing very clearly, though, the ethno-sectarian violence. You tell a story about staying in one neighborhood that was guarded by Kurdish soldiers, so probably feeling safely guarded, but then what?
Well, exactly, yeah. So these things just happen out of the blue. So I stay in a neighborhood in Baghdad guarded by Kurdish soldiers. One morning, one of the Kurdish soldiers allegedly got into an argument with an Arab journalist, dragged him out of his car, he was at a checkpoint, and shot him dead in the head on the street. So then a crowd of Iraqi journalists are very angry. This gets on the news. They gather, they hold a demonstration right there. And then suddenly the prime minister shows up, shuts off all the streets around there, turns up with maybe a couple dozen trucks of the forces that report only to him, demands that these Kurdish guards hand over the person who allegedly perpetrated this murder, and sweeps off. And then by the end of the day, he's replaced these Kurdish soldiers with his own Arab forces. So this kind of thing can just happen out of nowhere. You never know what's going to happen next.
Well, okay, that's the framework. And now we have these elections coming up. So what's the sense of how those sectarian divides might impact it, how democratic Iraq is?
Right. Well, I think that there's been a lot of concern, particularly maybe more in the West than in Iraq, about autocracy, about Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki really accumulating and hanging on to a lot of power. And I think there is a lot of cause for concern about that. He's running for a third term. A lot of prominent people have been disqualified from standing because of links with the former regime of Saddam Hussein's regime, or for vague reasons of bad character that are legislatively a bit dubious. And I think it's also worth noting that the political parties strongly represent sects and ethnicities. But the actual process of forming a government will happen after the elections in probably a lengthy process of coalition building. So there will be maybe more space for kind of competition for the leadership positions and for debate and discussion.
Well, meanwhile, we talked about the violence. Is it al-Qaeda violence? I mean, there's sectarian violence, but the organized violence, if you will, is that al-Qaeda?
Right, yes. Most of the time it is. I mean, things have been slightly even further complicated since the Americans withdrew because of the instability in Syria, which is just next door, which has kind of spawned multiple al-Qaeda groups, some of whom are now linked, some of whom are now not linked with the central part of the organization. But for simplicity's sake, yes, this is the same Sunni extremist networks that we were sadly familiar with when Americans were fighting in Iraq. And they have strong control in a lot of areas, you know, in Fallujah, of course, where American soldiers fought two big bloody battles. They really are in control there now. And I'm sorry to say, it's with the support of a lot of the local population.
What do Iraqis say? America went into Iraq on the false assumption that there were weapons of mass destruction, deposing Saddam Hussein and ending up fighting with al-Qaeda. And here we are. What do Iraqis say?
I mean, it reflects the complexity of the issue. You know, when the time came for the Americans to withdraw from Iraq, there was an enormous amount of debate about whether it would be better for them to stay, better for them to go. Were they handing Iraq over to Iran? And Iraqis have separate opinions about that as well. There isn't one unified idea. You know, a lot of them say, gosh, well, we wish actually that they'd stayed a little bit longer, given that they turned up in the first place. There's not kind of just one simple anger or anything of that nature, I find.
NPR's Alice Fordham opening her reporter's notebook for us on Iraq. Thank you so much, Alice.
Thanks for having me.